Hi, everybody. We'll get started in just a couple minutes, okay? Okay. Pam, that just joined the line, joined the call. Tell me what organization you're with.
Rhonda, Elmer.
I'm here with Don Nelson, and we're with Trinity Health in Muskegon, Michigan.
Cool. Thank you. And also, there was an Amy Stang that joined the call. Can you tell me what organization you're with?
From St. Cloud Hospital.
Oh, cool. Thank you. Just trying to get names with organizations a little bit, if we don't know you.
Absolutely.
Hey, my name is Kristen Van Stenzel. I'm calling in for Mary Free Bed Hospital in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Okay, hi. Hello, everyone. Everybody could mute their computers, please. I just want to let everybody know that our WNPRL can't be here today. So I do have a recording that she made in December that we'll listen together, and we'll stop the recording periodically for questions. Okay? Okay.
this is Mary Kay, and I'm bringing you information today about some new forms and other new things that you'll be seeing in the near future. I'd like to start out with some information about NARS. There's been a lot of questions in the past month about NARS, and so I want to answer those questions that have been brought to us. So the first thing is that NARS will be due this year, February 17th. That is a Monday. So NARS will be due on Monday, February 17th. There have been some questions about what needs to be entered into NARS, and the fields that need to be entered are the activity type, title, date, location, and year, providership, if you have any joint providers, target audience, hours of instruction, number of contact hours awarded, commercial support received, name of commercial supporters, and number of nurses who participated in the activity. If you don't know the number of other learners that are in the activity, please enter a zero.
I'm getting a couple messages from folks who are not able to see the screen. It's just spinning, so let me try to fix that first, and then we'll go on with the recording, okay? Oh, it seems to be back up and running. Everybody seeing it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, I don't even have a link to it.
Okay. Thanks, everybody, for your patience. We'll start again. Not over. Well, not we'll start over. We'll start from the beginning.
Another thing that is new for this year is the approved provider statement that providers need to use in the future. This is a change from ANCP that is being brought forth for providers during the 2020 calendar year. Providers will have until January of 2021 to make this change. So the approved provider statement is different in that it refers to continuing nursing professional development. So that's different than our current statement. You'll need to use this statement before the session that you're having for contact hours and also on your certificate as always. Again, providers will have a year to implement this change. This statement is a little different for any providers approved with distinction. The majority of our providers will use the regular approved provider statement. Thank you. I'd like to go through the changes to the educational activity record form. If the form is not up on the website yet, it will be soon. I'd like to go through and just point out a few differences between the old form and the new form.
She's talking earth.
Mm-hmm. If everyone can remember to mute their minds, please, which is star 6. Thanks.
There's just a few changes at the beginning of the document. Most of them are formatting changes to try to make things a little bit easier to read. The content at the beginning of the document is the same. For the questions on joint providership, there's no changes to content. There's just some changes to formatting to indicate some things that providers usually miss. One is to clearly indicate the provider organization awarding contact hours. The second is that the joint provider statement must be used on promotional materials. And this is something that is missed quite often, actually. So there's a statement you need to use that says, for example, your provider name is the provider of nursing contact hours for this activity in a joint provider agreement with whoever the joint providers are, whoever is at the table with you planning the activity. This is something that we see quite a bit. And we wanted to just make it clearer on the educational activity record form. The next section is the educational development section. Target audience is the same. You'll notice that the current state and desired state no longer needs to be documented. So instead of having the professional practice gap, current state, and desired state, you'll just need to summarize the professional practice gap. We have some tips throughout that will give you some hints about what we're looking for, and that should help you when you submit your sample activities, when you submit your approved provider application. We would advise, as we have in the past, to start your professional practice gap by saying the problem or need for improvement or need for new information that we're addressing with the educational activity is, and then start your summary. So tell us about what the problem in practice is and explain what's happening that creates the need for the activity. So again, the change there is that there's no longer a current state and desired state expected in documentation. Another big change is the evidence used to validate the professional practice gap. Instead of needing to attach whatever your evidence is to your activity record form, you just need to explain how you know there's a problem, what data you have to show this, and what the data show. So if you have a survey that shows that there's evidence of a need for an educational program, you don't have to attach those survey results. You just need, in a narrative form in letter C, to write down how you know, refer to the survey data, as how you know that a gap exists. Refer and summarize your survey data and indicate then what the data show. So that is a big change. It's another thing that you will not have to have in your activity record. The whole idea of these changes is that we would simplify the record and still be in compliance with ANCC criteria and requirements. So the current state and desired state is no longer required to be documented. In addition, there's no need to document with attachments your evidence of the practice gap. You simply describe it in letter C. And be sure to answer these three questions. How do you know? What data do you have to show the gap? And what do the data show? So we're hoping that those two changes will simplify your activity record form quite a bit and result in less paperwork for you. D is the same. It used to be a different letter, but it is the same, and it's the educational need that underlies the practice step. Outcomes are the same. We're asking for a measurable statement that indicates what learners will know, do, or be able to apply at the end of the activity. And it's important to remember that this is at the end of this particular activity that you're documenting and planning. A couple of things that we see when we look at the provider application activity samples are, don't just replace outcomes with objectives and call them outcomes. We see this actually quite a bit. There is a reference on the WNA website on how to write an outcome statement. It's also the place you should start when you're starting your planning. Decide what your gap is and what you want to accomplish with your activity. Another tip that we have is if you're planning a conference with multiple sessions, an outcome is not needed for every session. Your outcome can be written for your conference as a whole. So we did also include a sample outcome statement on this form, and remember there is a resource on the WNA website so that you can see exactly what we're looking for. What content will you develop is the same. There is an example there on what evidence will you base your content. Is also the same. One thing I wanted to point out is if you're planning a conference with multiple sessions, you don't have to list every reference. You can list 5 key references that directly contribute to the achievement of the educational outcome. So what we expect from your documentation is that if you're planning a conference, list at least 5 key references and make sure that they're related to your educational outcome. Again, you don't have to list every reference. So we're hoping that that will eliminate some paperwork and documentation as well. Please do still be sure that you're using best evidence and that you know the evidence that your presenters are using. Learner engagement strategies are the same. There's no change there. Commercial support is the same. There's no change there. Awarding contact hours is the same. There's no change there. We do ask that you attach an agenda for the entire activity. If the activity is 2 or more hours in length. That is a change. We used to ask for an agenda if the activity was 3 or more hours in length. So please be sure to attach an agenda if your activity is 2 or more hours in length. Certificate has not changed. Required information to learners has not changed. And you want to remember to attach whatever document or documents you have that show that you did provide the learners with this information before the session. Evaluation strategies have not changed. There's still a requirement for short-term evaluation. The thing that has changed about this section is that a summary of evaluation results for the entire activity needs to be attached to the activity record form. Evaluation summary must include a written analysis of the results demonstrating how you use the data to make improvements for future learning activities. So, a different way to say this is ANCC does not want us to have documentation in the form of a data dump. In other words, your evaluation results need to be in the record. There also needs to be a short paragraph summarizing a few key things about your evaluation results and how you'll use those to make improvements to future learning activities. So that is a big change from what we have required in the past, and that we're now aligning with what ANCC requires. The next section is formatted a little differently. The question is, was the activity designed to change process? If the answer is no, you can continue on. If the answer is yes, indicate how you assess that an actual change in practice occurred. And these choices are the same as they were on the old record form. Content integrity is still a section of the activity record form that is pretty quick that you can fill out. The thing to remember about this is to only check the choices that have been initiated for your activity. So if you don't have vendors, don't check the box that says vendor activity will be kept separate from education, because that doesn't apply to your activity. And that's something that we see a lot. The next section is the same on planners, presenters, content reviewers, and others. We still have the table for your speakers, planners, anyone who is in control of content. And we still have the table for the speakers. You'll notice in both tables, the first table, you need to indicate for your planning team if the person is a content expert. A content expert is not the same as a content reviewer. That's something that we see frequently as a misunderstanding, even with provider applications. You don't have to have an outside content reviewer. A content reviewer is someone outside the planning committee called in by the nurse planner to assess the content. Again, you don't have to have a content reviewer. A content reviewer is not the same as a content expert. A content expert is a subject matter expert, very different than a content reviewer. The other thing you'll notice on the table that hasn't changed but sometimes is not completed is that you need to indicate if a planner or a speaker has a conflict of interest. In the past year, we've talked about times where you don't have to assess if there is a conflict of interest for an activity. And those are activities like a leadership activity. If your content is in any way clinical in nature, you have to assess for conflict of interest. In fact, it would be very rare that you would check a box that says, no, there's no possibility that the content is related to a product or service of an ANCC-defined commercial interest. So this is something that we see occasionally, and it presents a problem because if your content is at all clinical in nature, it can be related to a product or service of an ANCC-defined commercial interest. And if you don't assess conflict of interest, then that's problematic, and your activity score would be reduced greatly. So most of the time, you are going to check a box that says there is a possibility that an activity content could be in some way related to the products or services of an ANCC-defined commercial interest. The next part of the form we just reformatted to try to be clearer in what we're looking for. So if you do have someone with a conflict of interest, you do need to fill out the table. Just a reminder that employees of a commercial interest cannot serve as planners, speakers, or authors if the presentation content is relevant to the products and services. And if you have questions about that, please contact the WNA office. I would rather have you ask questions than to wonder about that. There are still the methods listed to deal with a conflict of interest. Most providers use conflict of interest forms. And if you do, that's fine. Just continue, as always, to attach them to your activity record form. If you don't use conflict of interest forms, then you would need to answer all of the questions that are bulleted in the activity record form and attach whatever conflict of interest assessment that you use. One thing that was added was a short checklist for the additional documentation required in the activity file. You'll need to attach as the agenda, again, if the activity is 2 or more hours longer in length, attach your certificate, attach your promotional material or pre-session disclosures, attach your summative evaluation, including an analysis of data, your conflict of interest documentation, and, if applicable, commercial support agreement. There is also now a place to indicate who completed the documentation and when they completed this. Again, if this is not yet on the WNA website, it will be soon. At the end, there's still the helpful hints for determining what type of activity you have. And this goes back to the first page. The reason this section was added last year is because the categories of the ANCC activities changed and the definitions changed. And so you might want to look at this section as a way to communicate with the person, if you have help, the person that enters your NARS information. So So the reason that these sections were added was hopefully to help you communicate information. If you have questions, please let Megan know, and she can follow up with you and answer those questions. The next thing that I would like to talk about is the ANCC criteria revisions for approved providers. The last time we had criteria revisions was about this time last year, and they were pretty major. We did a lot of revising, and we'll have some revising to do this year with some new documents, such as the WNA manual would change. Last year, we provided a crosswalk to the changes. This year, ANCC has provided the crosswalk for the revisions. So we were just able to take this when it came out in November and do some highlighting for the things that are important. And again, ANCC is calling these non-substantive changes to the criteria. Where you'll see this is in the provider application. So this document won't really affect your education activity record forms. It will affect your provider application. So the next time that you need to renew, you'll be using these small criteria changes, and the application will look a little bit different. If you're renewing in early 2020, you can contact Megan for additional information or to receive the new application. March providers are using the previous application. June providers, we'd like you to use the new application, and Megan will be contacting you personally about that. The changes in the crosswalk are, again, hopefully going to lead to less documentation. So in the old version of the criteria, you had to, in your provider application, submit a description of the provider unit. What ANCC is saying now is that you can submit an executive statement or a high-level summary. So in the application, you'll see a change to how that question looks. It'll say, please provide an executive statement or high-level summary to indicate how your provider unit functions and relates to your overall organization. A lot of organizations and a lot of provider units don't have an executive summary. Most organizations do, but a lot of provider units don't. So we've left in questions that you can answer that will give the reviewers an idea about your provider unit. So you can either submit an executive statement of your provider unit and of your organization, answering the questions that are in the new application, or you can simply, in your description, answer these questions if you don't have an executive summary. Another thing that's different is the lines of authority and administrative support. Again, less things to answer here, so that's good. You no longer have to submit charts with your application. So in your application, You just need to list the names, credentials, and titles of your primary nurse planner and nurse planners, and you need to submit physician descriptions for those folks. And remember, the physician descriptions are not what you do in your job at your institution. They're specific to the primary nurse planner and nurse planners. You also need to still describe how you ensure that everyone is qualified. For data collection and reporting, providers will, just as they did last year, so some of the providers have done this, and some have not, providers will still need to submit their NARS report. The NARS WNA requirement for WNA is that you would submit your NARS report for the past year whenever you renew. So if you renew in March, you're lucky. You get to submit January, February, and the year before. So you probably will already have that data input done since NARS entries are due. Your NARS cannot be completed in 2020 by February 17th. However, if you're renewing in June or September or December, then you're going to need to have your NARS data in for the months before your application is due. If you have questions about that, you can refer back to the application. There's also in the application one new thing as far as information that you'll need to pull for NARS. And that is we added the activity type. So you'll still download all of these columns and you'll include the activity type as well. So that's not too different. For 004, you used to list your quality outcomes as something separate. That has been eliminated, and everything has been integrated into the quality outcomes section. In Q01, it's very similar to the Q01. It's the process used for evaluating the overall effectiveness of the provider unit. The change is in carrying out its work as a provider of nursing continuing professional development. So again, replacing the wording CNE with nursing continuing professional development, and also trying to focus on the provider unit as a whole and emphasizing we really want to know about your self-evaluation process. That would include talking about the process and telling us what you found as a result of the process. In Q02, there's a non-substantive change, but it'll look different on the application, and I think it will be easier for people to answer. Q02 now asks that you identify at least one of your quality outcomes that you've established and work to achieve, and identify the metrics used to measure success in achieving that outcome. So what are you measuring? What is your outcome, and what are you measuring so that you know if you're achieving that outcome? Q02B will ask you to use one of the outcomes that you've identified and explain how your most recent evaluation process resulted in the improvement of an outcome, and including how the outcome was measured and analyzed. So I think what ANCC is trying to do is trying to clarify. In Q02, they want to know, we want to know about your quality outcomes. We want to know what they are. We want to know how you're measuring them. And then we want you to explain explain in your evaluation process how that changed an outcome. And in the provider application, that section will look different as well. The biggest difference in how this looks is Q02A asks for the quality outcomes. Q02B is really your example to use one of the quality outcomes and explain how the evaluation process resulted in an identified outcome change. So hopefully that will be a clarification. Q03 is a similar change. Q03A, you identify the quality outcomes for your provider unit and the metrics used to achieve the outcome. And Q03B is really your example. You'll use one of the outcomes and describe how you measured that, how you analyzed it, and how that led to improvement. So I really, when I first saw this, I wasn't sure what to think. But when you are doing your application and you sit down and look at it, I think it will really, the way the ANCC has this arranged, I think is going to be really helpful. I think it will eliminate all of the confusion about where the description stops and the example begins, because now it's very specific. Some other non-substantive changes are SC1. There's just a little bit of language added about what ANCC wants to see in the response to this question. So SC1 has always been a little bit difficult to answer, and ANCC is just providing some information on what you might want to include in that answer. SC3, nurse planner, was added because ANCC realizes that the nurse planner is very valuable and that the primary nurse planner might not be involved in the activity planning. So in SC3, you can feel free to talk about how your nurse planners guide the planning committees or the planning process. In the EDP section, there's just a couple wording changes, but they are important even though they're small. How the nurse planner identifies the underlying educational needs and knowledge, skill, and practice that contribute to the gap. ANCC's rationale is that the addition of the word underlying provides some context and direction to the criteria and indicates you need to look at and find out where the practice gap exists in knowledge, skills, or practice. So again, just a small wording change, but important. Really wanting you to find out, once you know what the gap is, what is the real problem? What is the problem? Is it in knowledge, is it in skills, or is it in practice? EDP3 used to be about conflicts of interest. EDP7 has been moved to EDP3 because ANCC felt it was a logical flow from EDP1, EDP2 to EDP3. EDP3 now asks about the process used to identify, how the nurse planner identifies, measures, changes in knowledge, skills, and practice as a result of the target audience. So this is just the same as your old EDP7, it's just in a different order. EDP 4, 5, and 6 are the same as old EDPs, but again, you'll notice that they have changed order. And EDP 7 talks about, used to be EDP 6, talks about how the summative data for your activity are used to analyze the outcomes of the activity. So that goes back to earlier when I referred to ANCC does not want a data dump for the information. So you will need to analyze the outcomes of your information. And here it talks about what you need to include in that short analysis. So just to determine if the learning outcomes that I identified were achieved by the activity, and also how the data will be used to guide future activities. And I know on a previous call someone had mentioned what should that include, and so it is just a short paragraph answering a couple of questions, and these are the suggested questions. So, again, when it's time for you to do your application, this will mean more and you may have questions. We did, when we went through, highlight anything that has changed, so you don't have to look at your crosswalk. Anything that has changed in the application is highlighted in green so you can tell where the differences are. If you have any questions, please let Megan know in the WNA office. And remember again that your NARS data is due on February 17th this year. That gives you several Fridays to I know Fridays is a good day for people to do that. That gives you several Fridays to get the information entered. There is, on the WNA website, there is, on the approved provider page, this information exists as well. Be sure when you do your spreadsheet, you may be required to enter a zero in some fields. If you load your spreadsheet and you get something that gives you all kinds of errors, then chances are good that you just need to enter a zero in some fields. And if you load your spreadsheet, if you use the spreadsheet for NARS and you load it and you get all kinds of errors, don't panic. Just look carefully to see what the errors are, because it will tell you every single cell that needs something. So if you get errors, just follow the directions, look at what it's giving you, and follow those to see what you need to do. The other thing that I'll say about NARS is that you need to make sure you're using the template off of the WNA website. Last year, some folks used either different templates or they added columns to the current WNA template, or in another way somehow modified that, and you can't do that because it's not going to work. And there were a few panicked calls that NARS wasn't working as a result. So again, make sure you're using the template off the WNA website. It will not say 2020. It will not say 2019. It will likely give an earlier year, but the template is still accurate. ANCC has not changed that template since it was started. In the spreadsheet that's on our WNA website, it's also been modified to show what columns need to have information in, and that matches the information that is listed. On the WNA website, you can find this information in the provider page under current providers in the NARS section. there is a PowerPoint, and in the PowerPoint, these are listed. If you have any questions, please contact Megan at the WNA office.
Thanks, everyone, for listening today. I just wanted to cover a couple things that I've had questions about. So we have annual fee invoices. So those are going to be sent out by the end of January, and we are sending them out via our accounting software, which is QuickBooks. Every once in a while, those get blocked by firewalls at hospitals or wherever. So if you have not received an invoice from me or from QuickBooks by the end of January, would you please let me know and I can send it to you in an alternate way. We also had a couple questions via the chat, and I actually had a couple questions the other day about it too. So yes, the NARS information is due on February 17th. So if you have all of your 2019 activities already in, woohoo for you, you're all good. We have asked for in the past an annual report, and because of the changes to the criteria, it's not determined just yet whether we're going to be requiring an annual report this year that would be due to WNA SEEP, but I should know for sure about that by the end of January too, and I will send you an email. Somebody else asked about whether the educational activity record form covered on the call today would be posted up on the website, and it should be posted up within the next week or so. So feel free to give me a call or email me if you have questions. Appreciate it, and thanks for listening to the call today. I know the recording, listening to the recording was new, and I hope everybody stays warm, and Happy New Year.